Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development that's located here at Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about apotheosis as a pilgrimage from the material to the spiritual. Listen as we explore the physics of spirituality and the process of the human becoming divine. In this show, we will be discussing some of the benefits of becoming aware of the function of the causal spiritual body. Learn how to use karma to lift yourself out of a cycle of death and rebirth. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and experience the revelation of stillness. So Swami, the first thing that we say that we're going to talk about is apotheosis as a pilgrimage from the material to the spiritual. Well, what does that look like when we're doing that?
Yeah, apotheosis is the process of the human becoming divine. And the way that that plays out is we start to go from material values, material beliefs into spiritual values and spiritual beliefs. So we're moving from the visible and the tangible, and then oftentimes the intermediate phase in this whole thing is when we are doing the mental phase, which is you're going from visible and tangible to invisible but tangible. And then eventually, of course, we'll start to see that in order to actualize spiritual reality, we really have to internalize spirit, which is the invisible intangible.
Well, I've been hearing you talk for years about the physics of spirituality. And what does that exactly mean?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to give an evidence procedure, because like we say, we're trying to track something that's invisible and intangible. And what is being reported in our senses, things that are visible and tangible, or even things that are invisible but tangible, are the way that we're able to identify what's going on in this invisible, intangible dimension.
So about the process of the human becoming divine, where do you think we are collectively as a whole in our process of becoming divine?
Well, I think we're bound up in sensual perception, so we are lost in material values and material beliefs.
And so would you say that we have like a pretty long road ahead of us to be able to get from where we are to becoming divine?
Well, to answer your question, I really don't. I really think that it's really a matter of putting the right information into the mainstream medium, because this process of going from sound to silence or material to spiritual really isn't something that has to be done. We're already there. We're already spiritual beings. It's not something that really materializes. It is really just a revelation. It is something that we accept and we identify with, and then the changes that come from just this shift in perception starts to manifest itself, starts to materialize.
So when you're talking about revelation, you're talking about that we have to be at a certain sense of awareness to be able to go from sound to silence?
Yeah, that's what we talk about, the physics of spirituality, the evidence procedure that accompanies it. because in the Bible, there is, and I'm not exactly sure what book or what passage it might be, but there is something that makes reference to ask in my name and it shall be given to you. And the interpretation of that, to ask in my name, means to ask in my likeness. The physics of spirituality means that we have to change our frequency. We have to change the vibration that we resonate to. That's where I really think the Kriya Yoga that we teach excels in that, because of the simple fact that we are employing purification techniques. We are working with skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise. And what's happening in the framework of employing these strategies is we're changing the shape, the composition, the condition of our physical body so that we can be receptive to the frequency of spirit. Because like I said, spirit is invisible and it's intangible. Spirit rests in perfect divine unity. There is no vibration. So spirit is frequency free. And the more that we resonate, the higher the vibration that we resonate to, the more out of tune we are with it.
Well, there may be some people out there that may not understand that concept, because we've been talking a lot about trying to move from our material-minded ways into a spiritual-minded way. So if we are using food and water and preparing the body, people might mistake that to believe that the body is a material means and not a spiritual means.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right there. The discipline that I resonate to the most is Christian Science. And the way Mary Baker Eddy suggested, and also the way Jesus suggested it, was to love God, to love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Now, in order for us to love God, we must know what God is. Then we have to know what love is. And if love is the law of attraction, then we must love God. And if God or spirit is invisible and intangible, we must love what is invisible and intangible, which means we have to turn our back to what is reporting in our five sense mind. And what you'll notice is that most of us, we emphasize things that are sensual and animated, and those are 180 degrees from what this silence that we're talking about resonates to.
Well, I have a question to you about sound and using sound. How do you explain like chanting? So I know there's different advantages to practicing chanting. So we don't want to not do that still. How do we put that into our practice and still try to aim for the goal of silence?
Yeah, see, that comes down to the whole thing of process. That's what I was saying, that the physical part is addressing what is visible and tangible. The mental part is where you can start to work with vibration and sound, because sound is invisible, but it's tangible. We hear it. It reports in our five sense mind. And the more that we can harmonize ourselves with things that would reveal or represent divine law, things that are in harmony with divine law. So, say for example, music. In the framework of music as a science, there is what they call harmony and there is what they call discord. And things that are in harmony would be things that would be in sync with divine law, revealing itself. Things that would be out of tune or in discord would be 180 degrees from that. But the thing you have to understand is that we're trying to use the testimony of our five senses so that we can have attention for something that is invisible and intangible. We're not trying to call spirit into our human experience. We're not trying to bring spirit into matter. But we are using matter as a compass or a barometer or an indicator that what I'm doing is in sync or in harmony with my divine nature.
Yeah, interesting. I have another question about sound and music. And years ago, I was part of a drumming circle. We would get together a couple of times a month. And I was told by the members of this group that the drums are a very earth sound. And then they were explaining that other types of instruments, like, say, the harp, for example, would be more of like a heavenly or a spiritual sound. And so back then I was thinking, well, that's probably frequency based. But I wanted to get your take on that since you mentioned about music. So what do you think about that? If people who are into drumming, if that's something that they really resonate to, does that mean they're more mortal, more material, more earthbound than somebody who says likes heavenly type of music?
Well, to answer your question, the thing that we don't want to do is identify with the music. What we're trying to do is we're trying to identify with the silence that the music comes out of. And so that's where I think sometimes where things can get convoluted and distorted is because we start to mistake the music. And then, of course, we start to use the sensation or the sensual information that we're getting, and we identify with that with what we think is being spiritual. In the same way, we do that with thoughts. There's a lot of times that we are still working with the five sense mind and we are thinking spiritually, or we are thinking that we are spiritual. And that's really not how this would work at all. Because if you are thinking with a five sense mind, you are using what is invisible but tangible. And the same is true with sound. That if you are using sound to do something materially, then you are working on a mental level. It's not a spiritual discipline. And in the framework of, say, for example, Kriya Yoga, what we're doing when we employ mantra, we are using sound as or an exercise in concentration. And then, of course, with the repetition of sound comes absorption, but then it's always followed by the period of silence, the period of listening. Because what we're really trying to do is we're trying to attune ourselves like tuning a piano or tuning a guitar. And we are harmonizing the human mind-body complex as a transmitting-receiving instrument. And we're trying to make it receptive to what is invisible, intangible, and no vibration.
So it's not that the music gets us to a spiritual place or to silence. It's like the composer or somebody who's writing music, they're getting the music from spirit. So it's actually the other way around.
And I think that's exactly how you want to get it. You want to get it from your inspiration, from divine idea. And of course, creativity is where we're drawing from the realm of spirit, what is invisible and intangible. That's one of the things that you'll find is why so many artists go through a period of depression, because they're trying to take their inspiration, divine idea, and put it into form, and then it comes up short. Because you can't materialize something whole. If it is visible and tangible or invisible and tangible, it's in half.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I want to get back to talking about music. And music seems to be, or plays a pretty important part in our lives. And I know people who use music to meditate, or they use music, you know, to exercise with or whatever. But I want to get your take on using music to help meditate. And is that something that we should continue to do? Is that something that we should be cautious of? And I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, again, everything has to do with what your goals and objectives are. Because like we say, what we're trying to do is we're trying to attune ourselves to a frequency, to a vibration. Part of it is understanding, like what we've been talking about, the physics of spirituality, that reality is multidimensional. There are things happening on different levels of consciousness, different degrees of awareness simultaneously. Physics gave us, I think, the template when they said underlying matter is energy and underlying energy is the void. Most of us mistake energy for spirit. And I think that becomes one of the biggest barriers because, again, we primarily work with our five sense mind. We are what we think life is sensual and it's animated. And we really don't have any point of reference to, well, what is this stillness that they're talking about? Stillness, be still and know that I am God, is one of the things that is in the Bible. And yet, you know, we constantly think that animation and motivation and movement is the underpinnings of life, when in fact it is out of the silence, it is out of the stillness that everything comes. And so, again, depending on how far you want to go with your practice, in order for you to attune yourself to spirit, you have to move from sound to silence. You have to go from material to spiritual.
Now, are you talking about moving away from using sound as a meditative aid, I would say, and just trying to meditate in silence? Or is the silence what you get from your, for lack of a better word, proper meditative practice?
Well, again, I think what a lot of people don't understand is that meditation is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. it's not an isolated activity that we do independent of life. And so a lot of us think that we have a meditative practice when in fact what we're doing isn't meditating at all. Because in order to actually meditate in the true sense of the word, you really have to be connected to spirit. You have to be joined with this invisible, intangible source. And anything else was what they called a sin. It misses the mark. A lot of it has to do with, again, what am I trying to do? And what most of us do is what the Yoga Sutras call avidya, ignorance. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And when we do that, then we are in what was called ignorance. And so I think the big question here is, what I'm doing, is it really meditating, or is it just a form of concentration? Is it mental activity, or is it moving towards silence or stillness?
So my question to you is, how do we know the difference? How do we know what it is that we're actually doing?
Yeah, see, that's where I really think that we need scripture. Because in order to know that what you're doing is working, the key thing here is it demonstrable? Can I demonstrate divine law? And what does that look like when I'm doing it? Because in the Bible, it says, let there be light. And if I say, let there be light, and nothing happens, what's wrong with the picture? And most of us have made excuses as to why what we're doing doesn't demonstrate. If you have connected the dots, and you are now in compliance with divine law, you have moved beyond the material and the mental, then what you're doing will demonstrate. If what you're doing is material or mental, then it will be still under the law of karma. And there's a big difference between how karma demonstrates as opposed to how divine law demonstrates. Because with karma, you can turn finite bad into finite good. But in order to become spiritual, you have to move into the realms of the absolute. Spirit is absolute goodness. And even, say, for example, the thing about sound and silence. What most of us called silence is just the absence of sound in our five-sense mind. But in the framework of this practice, you have to understand that in order for us to meditate in the true sense of the word, we have to move from the lower mind into the higher mind. That divine mind must take over the scientific government of your being. And when we do that, then of course the five-sense mind moves into its rightful position as an avenue of awareness of the presence of truth. And what we know is that truth now clothes the raiment of your mind with divine idea. And divine idea does not report in a five-sense mind. There's your frequency-free experience. There's your absolute silence. But what most of us do, we call meditating, is we're sitting in the quiet, but our mind is still thinking. We are forming thoughts and opinions, and we are following imagery that is reporting in our five-sense mind. Now, when divine mind takes over the scientific government of your being, then what you're getting is divine idea. And divine idea works in the absolute. The five-sense mind works in duality. It works in things that are in half. Because they're in half, there's a point of departure, there's contrast, and our senses work on contrast. But we are in a fragmented consciousness. We are in a divided consciousness. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get into unity consciousness. We're trying to understand the absolute.
Is that what you mean when you talked about earlier when you're talking about divine mind? Is that that's how we can get to divine mind?
Yeah, divine mind is there. There's only one mind. There's only one power. Everything else is just an illusion. The five sense mind, it comes out of the world mind, which is the shadow of divine mind. It's like the counterfeit. The more I understand Christian Science, I'm starting to understand what I think Mary Baker Eddy meant when she talked about man is God's reflection. Just like when if you were to look at a moon in a lake. Now, when you're looking at that reflection in a pristine, calm lake, you see the moon and you think it is the moon, when in fact it is a reflection. And I think the same is true with the five sense mind. It is that it is a reflection of the divine mind. In our practice, what we're trying to do is we're trying to turn that reflection. We're trying to give ourselves a half a turn. That's where in Christian Science, they also talk about repent means to think differently. And so we're accustomed to thinking with our five sense mind, but we really want to try and give ourselves a half a turn, but we're looking for something that isn't going to report in our five sense mind. We're looking for something that's invisible and intangible. It is absolute nothing. It is the nothing out of which everything comes. And it is the one power of this universe. It is the only true power of this universe.
So I have in our notes, you have written down, reliance on spirit produces silence, and you wrote a capital S there, that produces the sound reasoning of spiritual truth. Now, that sounds like a mouthful there, but can you dig down a little deeper for us and maybe explain in layman's terms what that all means?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I really like it the way the Buddha said it. We must desire nothing. Jesus said the same thing when he said we must love the Lord thy God with our heart, our soul, and our mind. What we're trying to connect with is something that doesn't report in our five sense mind. That spirit or the concept of God is everywhere and in everything, and yet no one sees it because it's whole. And we're accustomed to dealing with contrast. But if you can rely on spirit, then of course it produces the true silence, not just the absence of noise in a five sense mind, but this is true silence, and that is the sound reasoning of spiritual truth. Because the truth is that everything is spirit. And divine law is the law of harmony. It's the law of love. It's the law of perfect, absolute peace. And so in our practice, what we're trying to do is we're trying to attune ourselves to this law. But as long as we continue to accept the testimony of our five sense mind, then we keep resonating to this lower vibration. We keep resonating to matter or mind. And as a result, we remain in the law of karma. We have a belief in two powers and not a belief in the one power.
Wow, it is about that time. We have to start closing down our show for today. So with that, listeners, I want to encourage you to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. You'll find all kinds of wonderful tools on that website there to continue your learning experiences. And don't forget to tune in to our Facebook Live episode that we air every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to remind everybody that silence is golden. but not all that glitters is gold. So you really want to know the difference between absolute truth and the concept of truth. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.